Record now. Hit play. Hit play, and it'll say on air. Okay. Now you're on.
Touchdowns. I'm a total homer and an asshole about it.
They make very few mistakes. Beast mode.
Yeah, way to go, Rook. It must feel nice to have a legit quarterback throw to you.
Defenses win championships. Because I'm not lining up with Brett Favre.
And here we go.
Tattoos and touchdowns, exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. I am Chris Espo. Thank you to everybody, Joe C, JP, for warming up the crowd for us. Thank you so much, JP. I am with, as always, Will Sweeney. Will?
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Just putting a little piecemeal together right now. We're kind of man cave leaves. We're coming in, so it may get a little hectic in the beginning. What we do here is we're NFL football. That's it. There's no pomp and circumstance. We're unbiased. I'm a Jets fan. He's a Giants fan. But we call it like it is. And you may hear cursing every now and then because we can, and that's what we do. But 9 times out of 10, we're going to try to keep it clean because what we want is we want legitimate radio. It may sound fun. You guys may get bored. You know what?
No, you're not going to get bored.
Exactly. Bottom line is you're going to be
entertained and educated.
Exactly. So, Will, go ahead. Run a little bit, and I'm going to start setting up because they ran a little too long.
Yeah, I'm trying to set up too at the same time. But, yeah, like Chris said, you know, we're here. We're on MoreLikeRadio.com now. We're going to bring you the fans' point of view. We're not the regular talking heads you guys are going to see on ESPN and all the other, you know, main stations out there. We got the 10 a.m. to 12 a.m. time slot, which basically means we're leading you into the pregame. All right, so basically we're here for the guys like myself who have two kids or one kid and they're young and they want to watch Disney Jr. and Nick Jr. and catch all their shows. So you don't get to watch the pregame show. So you're really not 100% sure what's going on. You tune into us, we're going to give it to you. That's the bottom line. All right. Before we go any further, I just want to say thank you to some people.
Absolutely.
I want to thank, first and foremost, my family, my wife, my kids, my parents, brother, everybody who's supporting me. I want to thank Chris, his wife, and his family for supporting us. Everybody's been absolutely fantastic. And then I want to thank the people who basically helped us come on to More Like Radio. Guys like Joe C, the Man Cave guys, Ham Radio. Thanks to everybody, all the higher-ups at More Like Radio, Royce, Marianne, Marie, Hammy, Eddie, everybody. If I missed anybody, I apologize. I'm still kind of getting to learn everybody's names. But we're here. We're here to stay, and we're here to set your Sundays on fire.
Ooh.
So, Chris, what do you want to get started with today?
Let's go into the Jet-Giant game from last night.
All right.
Did you get a chance to watch the whole game?
I didn't get a chance to watch the whole game. I caught most of the first half while I was at work, and then I was listening in as I was commuting. The very beginning was kind of odd. I mean, Giants' first drive, David Wilson just broke out and hit that 84-yard run, first play of the game.
Completely blown coverage on the for the defensive front. Terrible.
Yeah,
it was absolutely terrible.
It was absolutely awful. I mean, the one good thing is David Wilson ran like a man possessed, which I like to see. I want to see that because he's basically going to be our number one running back. He's going to be the Giants' number one. So for him to start off probably his last preseason game, he might play a little bit next week. But he premiered his talent, and I'm sure everybody on the sideline was impressed and have the confidence in him now to be their number one.
And David Wilson reminds me a lot of Tiki Barber. He has a vertical running style.
Yeah.
Up and down. He's not a side-to-side guy. And it reminds me more of Tiki because of the fumbles. In last year, rookie season, he was a fumble machine.
Right.
So what I was looking for, and listen, if you don't know football too much, that's another thing that we do on this show. We're going to try to break down certain things for you that if you're a fair weather fan and you're a casual fan that's in an office pool and you need to hear a couple of things, you're going to listen to us and say, hey, okay, they said this, so I'm going to try and go and try and run with it. The fourth game of the preseason, no one ever plays. None, your starters maybe play about one series and you're done.
Right.
So next week, David Wilson isn't going to get that much playing time. But there's going to be a battle for the number two back spot between Robert Terrain, and who was on Washington for a little bit, and Andre Brown. So,
and Darrell Scott's going to be competing for that spot, too.
Right. And like I saw last night, the Jets have no running game. And that's bad.
Yeah, it's going to wind up being a major issue for them. Bilal Powell, he's not awful, but he's really not that good.
He's not a starter.
No.
And they signed Mike Goodson in the offseason. That never happened.
Right.
They get Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory's not an every down back. He wasn't every down back in New Orleans.
Right.
Why is he going to be every down back now?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe because in New Orleans it was just a different situation. I couldn't tell you. I mean, the Jets are trying to make the best out of a bad situation right now. It's looking like Little Matt says, Jets don't have a game at all. I can't say they don't have a game at all, but they don't have a very good one. It's gonna be a rough season for any Jets fan.
What infuriated me last night more than anything else was Mark Sanchez coming in with the third string offense. That infuriated me. Mainly because you're setting him up to fail.
Right.
And the New York media completely bashed him. Bashed him, bashed Rex Ryan, bashed the entire Jets organization last night. Rightfully so. But at the same time, you look at it and you say, well, why put him in at all? If you're going to put him in, he's got to be in with the first team or the second team offense. If he's your starter, let me put it to you this way. If Peyton Manning is your quarterback, are you going to put him in a game with the practice squad offensive line?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's what scares me. You're doing this. You almost put him up there to get hurt. Now everything pans out, and you may not have Sanchez. They're talking that it's a serious shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Now, again, he could be the one that turns around and says, you know what? I know I'm on a sinking ship right now. Ooh, yeah, it hurts just a little too much, quote unquote, and he doesn't want to play. I don't know. But you're not going to win with Geno Smith. I love Geno Smith. I'm happy that they got him. But he's not your quarterback right now.
No, he's not. And the way things are looking right now is he's going to wind up being the quarterback right now. Me personally, you know, Geno Smith had three interceptions yesterday, and that third one that Justin Tuck intercepted, you became thoroughly frustrated with, and you said Geno Smith just basically handed Mark Sanchez the starting job.
Yeah.
I don't want to say he handed Mark Sanchez a starting job. I think Mark Sanchez had the starting job, but Geno Smith didn't make a good enough case to be serious competition for that starting job.
Right, and the Jets are a media circus. They've been a media circus since Rex stepped foot in that office.
Right.
I've said before, and I will say it 1,000 times to the people that have never heard us before, when the Jets made back-to-back AFC Championship games, that was not Rex Ryan's doing. That was a Mangini-built team, and Mangini didn't get any of the credit for it.
Right.
Rex Ryan ran with the tools he had. As the team started to break apart, we see now what Rex Ryan's vision was. And that's why he's not an offensive mind. He's good for the defense. So he's got his hand in the defensive coordinating. Stay there. That's why they brought in Marty Mornwig to be the offensive coordinator. They need him. He needs to. That West Coast offense is good for any team that has no running game. Jets.
Right.
Have no quarterback that could stay, that can handle pocket pressure. Jets. And have wide receivers of no talent. Now, Matt says Holmes and Mangold are the only people of note on the Jets, and I agree. But when your people of note are your center and a wide receiver that doesn't know if he's going to play, I mean, he was just activated off the PUP list. There's a problem there. My thing is, this is a lost year. And I want to see my team as much as I love them. I want to see them fail, and I want to see them fail miserably enough to get into the top five of the draft.
Okay.
Thank God I'm just a football fan. Otherwise, I'd be miserable all year.
Yeah, you'd be suicidal.
Yeah.
Little Matt sits there and says he thinks McElroy's going to be the starter at week 7. I don't know. I mean, me personally, I would love to see Greg McElroy out there. I think out of the three quarterbacks, he probably gives you the best opportunity to be more successful than we think they're going to be. I mean, I personally think the Jets are going to go 3-13 this year. Chris feels differently. But I just see the Jets, like Chris said earlier, it's a sinking ship. There's going to be a lot of struggle.
I don't feel much differently here.
much
more different than you do, though. I mean, I only have them at 5-11 best. I mean, we're going to get in that later in the show when we do AFC-NFC predictions. But
right.
My thing is that there's no – McElroy's not even going to make the team because Matt Sims is outshining McElroy as their third string. Right now, if everything broke the way it was right now, and I was the head coach of the team, and you said, okay, you got Matt Sims, Sanchez is hurt, and Geno Smith. Who are you starting? I'm starting Matt Sims.
Okay.
Sims made a play on the run yesterday in overtime. He made a throw. He rolled out right. He made a throw across his body to Spadola, who was coming across the middle, and it was in stride. Every throw Geno Smith made yesterday that was supposed to be a lead pattern just didn't happen. Like,
right.
Stephen Hill had to slow up and catch a ball. Like, the only play that was fantastic by Geno Smith was the lead pass to Ben Obomanu that went for the touchdown.
Yeah.
Because no one on the Giants took Obomanu. He was sitting there by himself.
And that annoyed the crap out of me. And right after that happened, I sat there and said, how does a professional defense completely not cover somebody and let them walk into the end zone like that? I mean, it was disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And what also frustrated me, well, it didn't frustrate me, but it worries me, is the injury to Stephen Hill.
Stevie Brown,
excuse me. It was a non-contact injury. He was trying to cut back on an interception, the second interception on Geno Smith. And if you caught the slow-mo replay, you saw the left knee kind of buckle and move to the side. And as soon as he went down and wasn't getting up, the only thing that was going through my mind was, oh, God, this is bad. You know, and I was actually predicting a much more severe ACL injury than it appears to be. I'm very thankful it's not as severe because Stevie Brown is the Giants' best option in the secondary.
Yeah, and I said to you last night, if he's down for an extended period of time, you have an Entrell Roll can't go. You have Tyler Sash and Ryan Mundy in your secondary. Amukamara played well last night.
Amukamara did play well,
surprisingly.
The first I can't even call it an interception, the one on Amukamara, because basically what he did was he basically ripped the ball out of the guy's hands. It really wasn't an interception. It was a flat-out steal. I mean, it gets credited as interception, obviously. But he just wrestled the ball away from the guy.
Right.
So, I was impressed with Amukamara. I'm encouraged by it. I'm very concerned about Stevie Brown. And I'm always concerned about the Giants' secondary. The Giants haven't had a really good secondary in a long time.
What do you consider good, though? Because I love football, but I'm 31 years old. So my knowledge starts in 86 with the Giants winning the Super Bowl until now. The only thing
right.
I've seen is video and film of past.
Right. The secondary has always been a little suspect. They've gotten beaten much more than they should have. I'm never sold on the secondary. I'm always worried about it.
Well, because
I'm never worried about that linebacking core. I'm never worried about the defensive line, but as for the secondary, for me, it's always a concern.
Right, and that's. It's always been second fiddle to that front seven. I mean, in the days of Jim Burton, Lennon Marshall, and Taylor, and Banks, and Reasons, and Pepper Johnson, and you never had to worry because they were putting so much pressure on the quarterback. You didn't have to have an amazing secondary.
Right.
The last two guys that I remember worth a damn on their secondary were Felipe Sparks and Everson Walls.
Okay.
that's like, that was a long time ago.
Right, right, right.
So, I don't know. I mean, now with JPP and Kiwanuka and guys like Justin Tuck, that NASCAR series that they had last year, was fantastic.
Right.
That reminded me of 86 and 90.
Right. Again, it's just, I don't know. Secondary, it's especially worrisome now with Entrell Roll, Stevie Brown down. We have to rely on Prince Mukamara. Ryan Mundy, as far as I'm concerned, he can be okay. You know, he came from Pittsburgh. He did his time working with Palamalu, which, yeah. Great guy to learn from.
Absolutely.
Great guy to learn from. As JP walks out of the studio, he's still saying Jets 9-7.
Well, Little Matt's saying Jets are going to go between 2-14 and 4-12. I, like I said, I have 5-11, but 4-12, Matt, is a good measuring stick. I have to agree 100% with that.
Yeah, I mean, I still think. I mean, honestly, they're not going to beat the Patriots. I think they split with the Bills, and they maybe split with the Dolphins. Or, you know. A few weeks ago, we were sitting there saying how the Dolphins were going to be competition for the Patriots.
I wrote an article about it.
Right. And now they've been beat up with a little bit of injury, so I don't know. Now I have to wonder. But that is what it is.
I'm trying to pull up the Jets schedule here because Man Cave was talking about it a little bit, and I'm not completely sold on anything the Jets are doing this year. And it hurts.
Right.
It really does. Because I'm only 2 years removed from back-to-back AFC Championship games.
Right.
When they beat Indianapolis in the playoffs. Like, yeah. As a Jet fan, I got to hang my hat on a lot of stuff in the little bit of time that they've been good.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And they haven't been good since 1 year with Pennington, and then way back past the 80s. I mean, they played in the 80s against Cleveland.
Right.
In the playoffs, and that was a disaster. I mean, like, it's been a while.
No, it certainly has. It certainly has. I mean, and now, I mean, my Giants, over the last 7 years, have been pretty competitive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they kind of screwed the pooch with the way they went down, not making the playoffs last season. And again, it's a matter of them coming out. Starting out strong every season. Starting out amazing every season, going 6-2. And then all of a sudden, the second half of the season, they figure out how to play.
Right.
You know, every now and again, they'll make a big push at the end. But thanks, Little Matt, for throwing up the Jets schedule.
Thank you. Yeah, I was looking at it right now also. Realistically speaking, in the first 9 games, I have them 2-7. Honestly speaking, 2-7.
All right, let's see. I think Tampa Bay beats them because I think Darrell Revis is coming in as a man possessed.
Loss, loss, win.
Buffalo Bills week 3.
Hold on 1 second. This is not your show. Get out of here. the Titan game, maybe. So I maybe 3-6.
I don't know. I don't think so.
You got to run Falcons, Steelers, Patriots, Bengals, Saints. That's 5 playoff teams.
Yeah, that's 5 straight losses.
No matter who's quarterbacking your team, because you have no one to run the ball and you have no one to throw the ball to.
Right.
Your best option right now on offense is Kellen Winslow. And if he would stop jawing with the other team, maybe he'd be legitimate.
Right.
It's aggravating.
It is aggravating. But you know what? I mean, Kellen Winslow.
You can't have swagger at 0-16.
No, you can't. But you know what? At the same time, maybe it's not swagger. Maybe it's him trying to fire other guys up. I mean, I want to make a quick baseball reference, okay? How many times have you watched a baseball game where a team is just absolutely playing horribly, the manager comes out to argue a call, and all of a sudden the team gets fired up? It may be that kind of philosophy. It's not working.
No.
At least not yet.
And it's not going to work because Rex Ryan shot himself in the foot way too many times with that.
Right.
Way too many times. There was too much bravado. We're going to the Super Bowl. You take a swipe at one of ours. We'll take a swipe at two of yours and all that other great fodder for every other team to put on their bulletin board and say we're gunning for them now. The person who should be doing it can't do it anymore because he has to put duct tape over his mouth.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is probably why he lost so much weight. After the bye, they have the Bills, Ravens, Dolphins, Raiders. All right, so maybe the Bills and Raiders, you get another two. Phil, grab your headphones. Get on there. Panthers, Browns, and Dolphins to round out. I like the Browns this year. I mean, again, and we're going to talk about the predictions later on in the second hour, but it's 4-12. I don't see it. 4-12.
Right. Well, you're saying 4-12. I'm saying 3-13, only because I do think they're going to split with the Miami Dolphins. They're going to split with the Buffalo Bills. And like you said, maybe they beat the Tennessee Titans. Right. But for the rest of the schedule, again, you got the Ravens. Oh, I'm sorry. I think they're definitely going to beat the Raiders. That was my third win. That was my third win for them.
0-9 up till the bye. Gee, thanks. Jesus.
I don't know about 0-9 up to the bye. I think they're going to go 1-8. I think they got Buffalo. But, you know, the second half, you're playing against a couple of legit teams. You got the Ravens, who are little Matt, 17-14 win over Cleveland. I don't think so.
Cleveland got better.
They did get better. And with Brandon Whedon, he's finally got an offensive coordinator that can work with him. And I think that improves the team as a whole.
Absolutely.
Is it going to be a close game? Yeah, there's half a chance. But I think Cleveland's going to come out on top. So, let's get into the rest of the week three games that occurred.
Okay.
What happened to the Patriots, man?
I was talking to somebody at work the other day.
40-9 they lose to the Lions.
And these are the same people. Like, these are the people that aggravate me. The people that put no stock in the preseason when they win, when they lose 40-9, but put stock in preseason when they beat a team 40-9.
Right.
So I said, you really want to look at something with the Patriots? That's right there. That 40-9 score is a big telltale sign for the rest of the season. Their starters played for three quarters.
Yeah.
An inferior Detroit Lions team humiliated them.
Right.
Matt Stafford had a day against them, against the number one defense for the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no one to throw to, Tom Brady. The only thing they got is a running game. If I can key on the run and throw eight guys in the box nonstop, they're one-dimensional.
Okay.
The only thing they benefit from is they're in a weak division. Yeah. I have them winning the division, but finishing fourth in the AFC. They're going to host the game by default.
It's pretty fair. I could see that happen. I mean, I don't know how far they're going to go in the playoffs, but, you know, that's something we'll discuss at a later time. Seahawks-Packers. Seahawks over the Packers 17-10. I'm very impressed with the Seahawks defense. You and I spoke about that last week when I was just completely in awe of the way the first-team Seattle defense played against the first-team Denver Broncos offense.
Right.
I mean,
they won 40-10?
Something along those lines. It was something ridiculous. I don't remember the exact score. That defense, as far as I'm concerned right now, based on all the rest of the preseason, quite possibly the number one defense going into the season in the NFL.
If they can continuously piggyback the success that they had last year leading up into the eventual loss that they had in the playoffs. I think they lost to Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, in the playoffs. Okay. They have the best secondary in the NFL. Richard Sherman, Brandon Browner, we talked about it last week, Earl Thomas, and Cam Chancellor.
Right.
Best secondary in the NFL. Bar none, hands down. That's
no question.
It. I want to see, and they got Cliff Avril from Detroit.
Yep.
As a down lineman. I want to see him and Brandon Mebane really be able to pursue the quarterback. I just don't like their linebackers. The linebackers leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah. But at the same time, as far as their passing defense is going, it's completely unmatched. Their run defense is going to need a little bit of work, but I don't think it's a major concern for them.
Right. And you look at divisions, and you look at teams that build themselves. It's comparable in division to division. Like, if you go the AFC South, the NFC South, excuse me, with New Orleans and Atlanta and Carolina and Tampa, big-time aerial offenses.
Sure.
some of the best wide receivers in the game. Just to mention a few, you got Julio Jones, Roddy White, Marquise Colston, Vincent Jackson, Mike Williams, Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Amazing. You need to build a team with good secondary.
Right.
Good secondary, good pass rush, good edge rushers. Go to a division like the NFC, the NFC East, hardcore, hard-nosed division, tough runners.
Yeah.
You need guys that are going to be down linemen, stuff the box, good hard-hitting safeties. That's what you need. In the NFC West, Seattle has a little bit of everything.
Yeah, they do. They're
Seattle
well
can, they can hang with everybody.
San Francisco's the same way, too. They got a little bit of everything.
100%.
On defense, very close to the same caliber
right.
as Seattle, but not quite.
No, I mean, you got guys like Patrick Willis right now. After he, I mean, Ray Lewis last year in the Super Bowl was the passing of the torch. It's 152 to another.
Right.
Middle linebacker to middle linebacker. I've done it for this long here. Now you take this Ole Miss grad. Now you're going to run with it. And he is the class of the team now, of the league at, right. at the middle linebacker spot. I'm more interested to see how the offense does. Big acquisition with Anquan Boldin. Michael Crabtree's hurt, so that's
That's a rough loss because Crabtree was phenomenal last season.
And Frank Gore's starting to break down.
Yeah, he is, but he can still do it. And they still got guys who can catch the ball like Vernon Davis.
Vernon Davis needs to show up this year. He was non-existent last year.
Because I think teams were planning for him. I think that was.
That's probably the best meme I've seen. Brandon Meebane.
That's fantastic. He was pretty much non-existent last year. But the thing about Vernon Davis, he shows up when it matters.
Right.
Which, it's a bit of an issue. I mean, you really should be there the whole season. What caused his fall off last year, I'm not sure.
Alex Smith. Because when Kaepernick came in, his numbers went up.
Right.
He had a game against Chicago on a Monday night.
Right.
Fantastic.
I can't completely put it on Alex Smith, though. Because when Alex Smith was quarterback the season before, Vernon Davis was straight up doing it. In the NFC Championship game, Vernon Davis was beating up on the Giants off the defense.
Right.
And if it wasn't for two poor special teams plays, the 49ers go to the Super Bowl.
The one difference between last year and the year before for the San Francisco 49ers was last year they had more weapons to throw to.
Right.
Crabtree was healthy. They had Mario Manningham. The year before that, Manningham was on the Giants.
Right.
They didn't have anybody else, so Vernon Davis had to be that guy.
Right. And Mario Manningham is on the pup list right now for San Francisco also. So with Crabtree and Manningham down, you know, we got they got to hope that their young receivers can step up and do that thing.
Fast track really quick before we take a break. Between the last of the games, before we take a break, because I want to go into this NFL bag policy thing.
Okay. Panthers beat the Ravens 34-27. Bears beat the Raiders 34-26. Redskins over the Bills. Well, not over the Bills. They annihilated them 30-7. Colts beat the Browns 27-6. Bucks edge out the Dolphins 17-16. Chiefs over the Steelers 26-20. Eagles over the Jags 31-24. Titans over the Falcons 27-16. Chargers over the Cardinals 24-7. Cowboys beat out the Bengals 24-18. Broncos edge out the Rams 27-26. That's a concern for the Broncos. But here we go. Time to pay a couple of bills. Give a shout out to a couple of the shows. We are Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on morelikeradio.com. We will be right back.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
I would rather go 1 mile down the road than inconvenience men behind me.
Mm-hmm. In my mouth, with my tongue, and testicles.
Oh. The official statement is fag!
Zach, as far as your routine goes, how, you know, because do you ever, like, do, like, with...
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Listen, we all love energy drinks, losing weight and feeling great. So it's a no-brainer to have all of that packed into one can, right? Well, then crack open an ice-cold Veemer and taste the difference. Go to stevendaisy.veemer.com and order it today. Steve is your personal shopper for a drink endorsed even by the likes of Dr. Oz. Again, that's Steven Daisy, STEVENDAISY.veemer.com, and tell him Espo and Will sent you.
Join Marianne and Kitty on Daytime Divas, where Marianne's milkshake brings all the creepers to the yard, and their life is better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. Daytime Divas, Thursdays at 8 a.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Tattoos and Touchdowns exclusively on morelikeradio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio. It's your boy Espo with Will, as always. We got a full house in here today. JP's on one computer, Phil's on another. We have Joe C in the background. The next topic that I want to talk about has been a thorn in my wife's side.
Yeah, dude, I was actually laughing. I was laughing pretty hard at the fight she was having over it.
And here's the thing, like, she was not a football fan before we started going out. And right. We've been together 6 years, married for 3. And she didn't know what she was getting herself into when it came to football. No idea. So now she starts to get, like, she starts to get angry at certain things. Things that really affect her. And one of the things now is this NFL clear bag policy. Mm-hmm. Basically, what happened, the tragic events in Boston have led the NFL to say that you can't bring personal bags in.
Right.
If they have to be under a certain size, which is 18 by 12 by 4.
What regulations? Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it has to be see-through. Anything smaller than that, they're allowed to bring in, as long as if it's smaller than those dimensions, you can bring it in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be see-through, but they also
anything bigger than a clutch is allowed in.
Right,
is not allowed in. That everything else has to be see-through. So
right.
If you got like a little clutch you're bringing in, basically you just bring in your car keys, your credit card, a little bit of cash.
Some C4.
Well, Joe just completely screwed up that policy. But it's got to be see-through. And people are up in arms about this, women mainly,
yeah.
Because they're the ones carrying the bag in. But what people need to realize, it's a sign of the times.
Yeah.
Look at what's going on. You know, you have people putting bombs at the Boston Marathon.
That's terrible.
You know, it's frightening. It's not like it can't happen to a football game.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Security's tight at a football game. You know? I mean, when they pat you down, I've actually asked some of the guards to take me out to dinner first.
Yeah.
So it gets a little personal.
One finger, wow. Circular motion.
Wow.
You know, at least kiss me. I mean, Jesus. Yeah. But I don't completely disagree with it.
You can't disagree with it. My thing is we've all flown here. And after 9/11... TSA stepped up big time. You couldn't do anything. I mean, you basically had to walk through the metal detector butt naked. And even then, they wanted to do a cavity search.
Right.
And as much as people complained, everybody just got over it and agreed with it. Why is this such a big deal? How much do you have to honestly bring outside of a family with a baby that had, you know, have to bring a diaper bag in and all that stuff? Outside of that, how much do you really need at a football game? You need a wallet.
Pretty much. I mean, you need a while. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've gone to a couple of football games, and Phil, you know, he could attest to this because we went to a Giants-Vikings game, I guess about 5-6 years ago now.
Yep.
And we tailgated beforehand. You know, we met up with a bunch of people. These guys know how to tailgate right.
Absolutely.
You know, and basically what you would do is in the morning you would have your breakfast. They had donuts, coffee, that kind of stuff out there for you. And then if you had a 1 o'clock game, you'd bag your lunch.
Yeah.
You'd make a couple of sandwiches. You'd bring it in. You know, and as a guy, I got my jacket on. I put the sandwiches in my jacket. You know, I'm good to go. They're not going to let me bring beverages in there. I get that. They want me to buy something.
Right.
You know. So that's really all you're bringing in there. You know, that, a little bit of cash or credit card, whatever you're bringing in. And, yeah, you need your car keys. Me personally, speaking as somebody who has two small children, one of them still in diapers, we're working on that, I'm not bringing my two-year-old to a football game.
Right.
It's too damn cold. It's too damn cold, so I'm not bringing a diaper bag. If I can't find a babysitter, I'm not buying the ticket.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, you can complain about it all you want. Bottom line is, it's there to protect you.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. The NFL security is always tight. I mean, the NFL does things very strict. Security's tight. Their drug testing is tight. They still get guys who are failing these PED tests, but they're getting hit for it. You know? NFL is probably the strictest league, I'm going to venture out and say, in the world.
Outside of the IOC with the Olympics, yeah.
All right. IOC, good point. Thank
you. They're the gold standard. Never, then it's everybody
and,
else.
But you know what? What the NFL does is they try to model themselves after the IOC.
Absolutely. As well you should.
I can't dispute that. I can't dispute that.
Right.
So, why don't we talk a little bit about what was actually going on with Karen? Because if you don't know Chris's wife, she's a bit of a spitfire.
A bit? God bless her. I love her, but Jesus. Here's the thing. She turned around and said she's okay with it because it's for our safety.
Right.
Just like we said. Some woman, some bra-burning woman comes out and says they're violating women's rights. How would you feel it if they came into your house and told you what to wear and how to do it? And she's like,
why would the NFL come into my house?
Exactly. That's number one. She turns around and says, wait a minute. What does that have to do with me going somewhere and sitting down and hoping I don't explode?
Right.
Where is the... You tell me what that has to do. Where is that comparable? And the woman just kept going. And lo and behold, she looked and looked and looked. And this woman was just browbeating everybody. Like,
right.
Anybody sneezed the wrong way, she was just abusing them.
Right.
And really quick, I just want to run down what the ruling is from the NFL.com website for these clear bags. Bags that are clear plastic, vinyl, or PVC and do not exceed 12. I'm sorry, I thought it was 18. 12 by 6 by 12. Official NFL team logo clear plastic tote bags will be available through club merchandise outlets or at NFLshop.com/allclear. Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Right. But you know what, though? In the NFL's defense, I mean, they're not charging a lot of money for them.
No.
And usually, the NFL is usually pretty expensive.
Yeah.
All right, but they're not. I think the largest bag is only about $20.
Thank God for eBay.
Well, yeah. You know, or go to the supermarket for $6, buy a whole big thing of Ziploc bags, carry that in.
That's the next one. What's the matter, JP?
I actually got... Yeah. I'll actually tell you something, okay? I just went to Brooklyn Cyclones game, because this kind of pertains to what you were talking about. Brooklyn Cyclones game where they just redid the Jackie Robinson statue. I was at that game. My wife... My mother-in-law, myself, and the baby, we all went. I have the diaper bag. My wife has a purse. Guy at the security facility, he comes. He goes, all right, open up your bag. I just walked by. Didn't even check the baby's diaper bag. I just said to him, oh, it's a diaper bag. He goes, oh, okay, keep going. My wife has this big-ass bag that's her purse. He goes, she opens it. He looks in and lets her go.
Right.
So I can understand what you guys are saying about it. I may not agree with the rule, but... You know, I kind of see what you're saying because we were able to just walk right in with a diaper bag and my wife's big-ass purse, and they didn't even check us. And that was at a Brooklyn Cyclones game.
Well,
so what was there, like 3,000 people there?
That's the guy who's not doing his job.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know.
So, yeah, I can understand what you guys are saying. That goes to show you how lax the security was there.
Right. I mean, let's face it. you're not paying these guys a whole lot of money, so they really don't care that much.
Yeah. Right. And I'm going to, down the list, it actually has one of, not that they don't care, like it's not part of the NFL guidelines, like, oh, we don't care.
Right.
Like, there's something else. 1 gallon clear plastic freezer bag, Ziploc bag, or similar. Small clutch bags, approximately the size of a hand, with or without the handle or strap, can be taken into the stadium with one of the clear plastic bags. And the last one is, an exception will be made for medically necessary items. Proper inspection at a gate designated for this purpose. So I'm assuming that that could also stretch to the realm of baby stuff.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think what they're talking about there is people who are bringing in portable oxygen tanks.
That would do it.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Okay.
You know, I think that's really what the policy is geared more for. That probably wheelchairs, things of that nature. Because I really can't see what else you would have to bring that would be sizable for your medical needs to a football game.
A bazooka.
Oh, that's right. No.
Excuse me. Would you like paper or plastic for the C4? Plastic, please. I have to get in.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's a strict policy. Whenever a policy like this is new, everybody complains about it. It's a big inconvenience. Oh, I can't believe they're doing this. They're taking away from our civil rights. They're really not. They're trying to protect me and my family. I'm okay with it.
Exactly. And here's the thing. If you go to a 1 o'clock game, 9 times out of 10, you're in the stadium for 12:45.
At the latest.
Okay, so now what does that mean? I have to cut my tailgating short by 10 minutes? I'm sorry, I can't woof down that last beer before I get in.
But you don't have to cut it down by 10 minutes if you have the clear bag.
Right. But, I mean, for the people that want to be, you know, hard asses about it.
Right.
And don't want to abide by the rules.
Right.
All right. So you got to stop 10 minutes early. These are the same people that I hate sitting next to in any event or venue.
Right.
These are the people that I get into almost fights with when I go with my wife somewhere because they spill beer down my back because they don't know how to stand.
Right.
Okay. It's infuriating. Get over it. What would you rather have? Go see a game and wait an extra 10 minutes, if that's what it really comes down to, if you want to be a hard ass about things. Sure. Or do you want to blow up? And that's the society we live in right now, that nothing is safe.
No. It's sad, but...
Last year, before we move on, the big thing was the end of the world, okay? And all the Illuminati conspiracy theorists and all that other blah, 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 blah. We're talking about it's the end. This is it. Something right. Big is there's going to be some kind of red flag event at the Super Bowl, and then the lights go out at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting at Phil's house, and the lights go out at the Super Bowl, and I just push back from my seat and go, "It's going to happen. Like this is it.
Armageddon is upon us.
Exactly. Like that's it. I'm with the people I love. Kiss everybody. This is going down." And then the lights went back on. And
that's why you were trying to stick your tongue down my throat.
Yes.
That and Karen's buffalo casserole.
Ooh.
Buffalo Drano.
We'll talk about that when we get to tailgating.
Yes. Yeah. There, we will have a show about tailgating. There's too much of this. But right. Again, this is what we live in. And you can't do anything else about it.
No, unfortunately, you can't. Unfortunately, you can't. You know, it is what it is. Time to get over it and move on. Protect me, protect my family. I'm okay with it.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's move on from that.
Speaking of protecting families, Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, boy.
Aaron Hernandez was indicted earlier this week.
On Tuesday, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, basically they found enough evidence to take him to trial. So,
I'm pulling up the article now.
So. Right. Yeah. He's for everybody pretty much knows what happened with him. You know, he killed Odin. He allegedly
easy now
killed Odin Lloyd,
tampering with evidence,
execution style.
You're not on the jury.
Yeah. Well, you know, allegedly. There we go. Got it out there. Allegedly killed Odin Lloyd, execution style, back in March.
Right.
Okay. One shot to the head. Can't find the gun, made everything look suspicious, destroyed his cell phone, which he allegedly had text messages to Odin Lloyd on, as well as a couple other guys who helped in the alleged murder. They also Phil, hashtag allegedly. he boiled his house, and if you don't know what we mean by boiled his house, he had a professional cleaning crew come in and clean it to immaculate standards.
Scrub the walls with bleach.
You know, destroyed his home security system, did everything he possibly could to make himself look guilty.
I hate to sound naive. Does anybody know the motive for the killing? Why he killed this guy? If he killed this guy?
No.
It's going to be hard to prove this.
It is going to be a little difficult to prove. Some people speculate because Aaron...
Sounds like an OJ to me. If the glove don't fit, you got to quit.
Yeah, well, the good thing is the Kardashian lawyer is no longer with us, so...
The other good thing is that even with cell phones being destroyed and the house... He did a lot of bad stuff right after. Mm-hmm. And with technology the way it is now compared to when OJ was on trial, it's going to be a night and day difference.
Yes.
I think there's a little bit more to nail him to the wall.
This is true.
Hoping. He doesn't deserve to see the light of day ever again.
If he's guilty.
If he's not guilty, hey, welcome back to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
No.
Well, that's the whole
maybe the Raiders.
The appearance of guilt in a murder trial, the appearance of guilt is not enough.
Right. I agree. 100%.
You have to have, you know, beyond the, you know, reasonable doubt is a big thing, you know.
Right.
Well, anyway, we'll see how this soap opera turns out.
Absolutely.
Part of the alleged reasoning behind the murder is because Odin Lloyd apparently had some knowledge of a double murder that Aaron Hernandez may have been involved in.
When he was in college.
Right.
He went to the University of Florida. He was on the same team as Tim Tebow and Riley Cooper. Now, if you don't know who Riley Cooper is, Riley Cooper is the N-bomb bandit that
priest,
was at...
A priest, a murderer, and a racist walking through a bar.
Exactly. what a national championship team that was.
Oh.
Anyway, he's got the best lawyers that money can buy, and no matter how much they have against him, there's always going to be something that comes up. There's some smoking gun and all that other nonsense, and I just hope that if he did do it, he gets convicted of it.
Yeah.
And if he didn't do it, I still think he did it. Like, that's the problem now. Like, there's no... You can't tell. Like, after OJ was acquitted and didn't get anything, didn't get sentenced, it's like, no, you still did it.
Right.
Like, we know you still did it.
Right, and then there was the whole civil suit.
No, Dikembe.
No. Not in my house.
Hashtag N-bomb bandit. Thank you, Phil.
So Aaron Hernandez is going to stand trial. Things are going to come out. It's most likely going to wind up leading to a conviction.
And this is going
to
be a long trial. Because you know the way they drag out a process. They got a break for the holidays. They can't go past a certain time. And then they're going to review the evidence. And then it's going to be re-review. This is going to be at least a year. I'm going to say that the whole trial, beginning to end, will be at least a year.
I could see that. I could absolutely see that.
I just hope... it takes away this whole off-season, off-season into preseason, has taken away so much from the casual fan. Now, I'm going to compare it to MLB. With all the PED scandals and all the problems, the fair weather fan, and honestly speaking, as much as I love baseball, I'm a fair weather fan up until, like, September. There's too many damn games in a season.
Yeah.
But there has to be. So, as a fair weather fan, when I come into it, it's like, okay, let's go. I'm ready. But when I hear about A-Rod and Ryan Braun and Francisco Cervelli, really? Who cares? All these other people, it's like, again? I have to worry about, again, if Miguel Cabrera is juicing or if Derek Jeter is juicing.
Right.
I got to hope that the guys that, as a, just say I'm a 10-year-old kid and I look up, I have a Ryan Braun poster on my wall. My whole thing is I want to be Ryan Braun when I get older, and now I cheated. Well, I don't want to follow you anymore.
Absolutely.
You become, even at 10, you become jaded. Phil, let me ask you, if Mikey's a huge Tennessee Titans fan.
He is.
Your stepson. If Chris Johnson, it got found out tomorrow that Chris Johnson was a steroid head, was convicted of coke, and all these other things. Don't you think as a four-year-old boy, you'd be like, eh. Like, that's my guy. Like, that's my team.
And he's six, and how do I...
I'm six. I'm
how
sorry.
Do I tell... How do
I'm
I...
I'm sorry, six. Excuse
well, how
me.
Do
my
I...
My daughter's four.
But how do I explain that? You know, how do I explain that?
I wouldn't know how you explain it to
me. I don't know how you explain that. You know, I don't know. You tell me you did something bad, and you don't root for guys like that.
Right.
That's all you can tell him. You know, I don't know if...
he broke the rules.
He broke the rules. He did a bad... He made bad choices. That's a big thing with kids, making choices.
Right.
Because he sees things on television, you know?
Right. And as a responsible parent, you have to teach them how to make the right choices.
And I only started getting responsible about 3 years ago. So, so for me, it's like I'm learning how to be responsible.
It's still a work in progress,
now I'm
by
in
the
charge
way.
Of a six-year-old, and I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do? You know, it's the same thing. It's everywhere now.
Well, look right. how far you've come.
Yeah.
He has come a long way.
It's a work in progress.
Still working on it, though.
But I see your point. I don't know what to tell him. He wears the jerseys. He has the comforter and the rug in the room, and he wears the Chris Johnson and the Hasselbeck jersey still. And Christ, he still has a Vince Young jersey. You know, kid's
nice.
Only six.
Good for him.
Who's nice. Now the backup of Green Bay now, I believe, right? He won the Green Bay starting job, the backup job.
Yeah. I think he did, yeah.
So, good for him.
Yeah. All right, so...
Fucking Packers.
Coming from the Vikings fan.
I know, Joe. I know.
Well.
So, wow. All right. The other day, Ron Jaworski, lovingly known to Philadelphia Eagles fans as Jaws.
Jerk off.
I think he's an idiot. I was never a big fan of him. Came out and said Colin Kaepernick could possibly be the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. No. It is really still too early to tell. You're basing that statement on he started seven games last year. Started seven games last year. And then the playoffs. Okay? I don't think he's going to rank up there with the Brett Favres, the Dan Marinos, the Peyton Mannings.
Warren Moon.
Okay? He's a different kind of quarterback.
Right.
In my mind, I think Russell Wilson's a better quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay? That's just me. Colin Kaepernick goes back to the way Mike Vick used to be when he first started his career. Mike Vick was a running back playing the quarterback position. Okay? He ran before he threw.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick likes to do that too. You're a quarterback. You got to throw the ball. Okay? He had... he was just north of 1,800 yards last season in the games he played. All right? He was in 13 games, started 7.
Right. I'm going to pull up the Kaepernick stats while you go.
Yeah, only because I was looking at it yesterday. That's why I know the...
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And he ran for almost 500 yards. Okay? He, again, if you translate that, I'm going to give him a little bit of credit. I'm going to translate his yardage.
Wow, you were spot on.
Yeah.
1,814 on passing, 415 on rushing.
All right, so just north of 400.
Terrific.
Yay. How many touchdowns did he have passing and rushing?
He had 10 passing touchdowns last year, and he had 5 rushing touchdowns last year.
Okay. So I'm going to play devil's advocate. I'm going to double his numbers. Based on a regular season, on a full season, okay? So 3,600 yards passing, 20 touchdowns. I'm going to say 800 yards rushing, 10 rushing touchdowns. That's 30 touchdowns. It's a lot of yardage. 3,600 yards is decent yardage if you're a quarterback, okay?
Flip side of that, Robert Griffin, 3,200 yards passing last year, 20 touchdowns. And he had 815 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns. That's
a full
season.
That's side by side.
That's in 15 games. He was hurt for one game.
He was hurt for one game.
Right. I mean, it's clearly a passing game now, right? Is it safe to say that?
It's a vertical league.
Yeah.
So those numbers aren't far-fetched.
They're not.
But I don't think he's in that. We discussed this at length the other day.
Yeah. He's not going to be in that. I, personally, cannot put him in the same breath as, again, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jim Kelly. Go back further than that. You know, you can't do it. It's a different type of quarterback.
Right.
You know, Could he possibly be the best mobile quarterback to play the game? He could possibly. I don't know. We have to wait and see.
Right.
He's still got a few years ahead of him. This year is gonna be the litmus test for him. He's gonna play a full season. We're gonna see if he breaks down near the end of the season.
A full season with no security blanket behind him. Because if the 49ers failed with Kaepernick, if the Kaepernick experiment failed last year when Alex Smith came back,
right,
Alex Smith would have been the quarterback and Kaepernick would have got his shot.
Right.
Okay. I've said this before to you on multiple shows. I never like to compare too many decades together,
right,
in the NFL.
You can't do it. It's different leagues.
Totally different time. As good as the 69 Jets were, if you put them up against the 2011 Giants, again, they're all bigger, faster, stronger. I mean, game plan is one thing, but brute strength is another. Okay. Right. I'm going to throw three names out there, and you guys just touched on one. Warren Moon, Steve Young, Randall Cunningham. Mobile.
Right.
Big arms.
Sure.
Colin Kaepernick, in that time, would have never done and put up the numbers that he's going to put up.
Okay.
You mean to tell me Colin Kaepernick in the 80s against the 86 Giants, against a Washington Redskins-led defense, against Philadelphia.
A 90s Dallas team.
Right. Or against a team like Reggie White and Jerome Brown.
Minister of Defense.
You want to tell me Colin Kaepernick is going to break out and rush for 1,000 yards that year? You are on high amounts of crack.
Right.
You're not going to throw against those teams. You're going to throw for 1,000 yards against Darryl Green? Never.
No. Colin Kaepernick, right now, I'm saying he's a good quarterback. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
Has potential to be better. Will we say he's a great quarterback one day? Possibly. But to sit there and come out and say, after starting 7 games, and yes, he took that team to a Super Bowl, but Alex Smith had a little something to do with that too. Okay? For Ron Jaworski to sit there and say he could be one of the greatest quarterbacks, if you want to get technical, I could be one of the greatest quarterbacks too.
Yeah.
Okay? I just got to get my shot. That's not what he meant, though. Poor judgment on Ron Jaworski's part. Jaws, think about what you're saying. For some reason, people look up to you. You were a good quarterback back in the day. He was good on those Eagles teams.
Yeah.
Okay? But to come out and say something that foolish.
Was he the quarterback when they got steamrolled by the Raiders in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's just trendy for him to say. Because of the way, like, when I asked you guys about the passing league, I think he's using that as a catapult to, you know, to as Chris would say, it's a sexy pick. It's a sexy thing to say as an analyst.
Right.
Because you'll get guys, and Terry Bradshaw does the same thing on Fox
once in a while. Terry Bradshaw's another one.
But still, like, it's that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, it's sexy to say. Because of the way the league has progressed in terms of playmaking. You know, I don't think he's going to do what the other guys did, you know. But
I don't think so either. He's got a lot of competition based on the style of running back that he is right now, especially with guys like Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, RG3. You know, those four guys right now are that mobile quarterback, run for a lot of yardage. Those are the guys he's going up against. Let's wait and see who starts to take a lead.
All I keep thinking about is Will saying, I just give me my chance, like with a big leather helmet on, like Al Bundy style, married with children. That's all I keep thinking.
We discussed this.
I could have been a contender.
Several months ago, we discussed this on another show we used to do about Alex Smith and my disdain for him not getting that chance because he was ill.
Right.
You know,
a concussion.
I think he could have came back and took the same team to better things.
What the difference between Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick is, really quick, it's they're different. What Kaepernick gives them in a running game, Alex Smith didn't have. And I think Kaepernick has a better arm than Alex Smith. The only thing Alex Smith did have is he had a little bit better field recognition. than Kaepernick did, than Kaepernick does, but that's only because he's a second-year player. Right. It's his third year, but it's his first full year playing, and it's his second year behind center. That's the only difference that I really see in them. Honestly, Jaws, you're killing me. Like, there's no reason to ever bring that up. It's just you had three other guys last year that were better than him, and I think RG3 is going to have a better career than him, bottom line.
I think Russell Wilson's going to have a better career than him also.
I agree.
But that's about it for now. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on morelikeradio.com. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's More Like Radio. We're going to go into a little break, wet the whistle, pay a bill, and when we come back, we're going to start previewing the AFC and NFC for everybody.
Damn it, can a guy masturbate in this house?
Did somebody bet me how many washcloths I could fit in my butt, or did I do this just for fun?
I'm sorry, ham radio, but you left me no other choice. I called the FCC.
Don't have a tyrant's chance of being successful on radio, you idiot!
We're tired of you infecting people with your smut. This is an epidemic, and it must be contained.
I will not have it happening in my own house.
Fuck you and everyone else. People freaking love us. We're gonna be huge.
This is ham radio, because once you go ham, fuck everything else.
This is Ham Radio. Be part of the problem, not part of the solution. Tuesdays, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here on...
Bringing internet radio to the next level. It's not FM. It's not XM. It's more like radio.
Do you have an unusual growth on your genitals? Did your significant other dump you? Lust and Love, where we might not be able to help you, but at least we'll get a good laugh at your expense.
Lust and Love, Mondays from 10 to midnight on morelikeradio.com.
Are you a comedian that has trouble?
Everybody's a hack, I know. Everybody's a hack, I get it. Shut up. Swing. I'm a dopey fucking shit comic.
You're an asshole.
Fuck you. Was there really a ramrod in? That's a cock joke. Swing. I'm not an unpleasant person. You know what I'm having for the first time today?
Period.
Shut up. I'm fucking pissy. Insert queer joke here. Call me a faggot and hit me with a stick.
I think he's a comic.
I love you.
He gave me the finger.
Fuck you. Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh. Fucking jerk-offs.
Not bad for a guy that's got nothing.
Shut up. I'm not an unpleasant person. Fuck you. Conti Kenny Show. Fuck you. Dicks.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Welcome back to Tattoos and Touchdowns. Will Espo, special guest Phil sitting in with us, and as always, super producer Joe C. One of the hardest parts about doing the type of show we do is this time of year. We make our predictions. You know, how teams are going to finish, how we think they're going to finish. Now, 2 weeks ago, we said Dolphins are going to be legit contenders in the AFC East.
Yeah,
they're gonna give the Patriots a run for their money. Hmm. Now all of a sudden they're being decimated with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams are being decimated with injuries. The whole landscape of the division is now changed. So what we're gonna do now? We're gonna sit. We're gonna talk. We're gonna figure out. Why for you right now, we're kind of winging some of these, how each division is going to break down.
All right.
So let's start with the AFC East. All right. First schedule that's up right there right now is the Buffalo Bills. Chris, how are you feeling about the Bills right now?
3-13 at best.
Okay.
The problem I see with them is they lost Kevin Cobb and they lost E.J. Manuel. And right. I don't know how long each one are going to be out, but when you got to start scraping the bottom of the barrel for a third-string quarterback or a, you know, that getting rid of Fitzpatrick looks dumber and dumber right now. You could have at least kept Fitzpatrick and drafted E.J. Manuel. That would have made a little more sense. I don't see that team. They have a great running game, and it's built for that division, but I don't see them doing anything past 3-13.
Now, if McElroy doesn't make the team for the Jets right now, do you see him kind of going up to Buffalo and maybe filling in?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's guys out there. This week coming is going to be they call the guy who cuts the players off the team. They call him the Turk.
Right.
Okay. And next week we're going to talk a little bit about the Hard Knocks HBO special that they've been doing for the Cincinnati Bengals. I've watched everything so far. It's been fantastic. There's going to be a couple of guys that in Cincinnati alone, there's a good battle between John Skelton is looking like he's going to be the number two behind Andy Dalton.
Right.
I want to see something. I want to see somebody else. I mean, one man's trash is another man's treasure.
So absolutely.
It all depends on how long Kevin Cobb and E.J. Manuel are going to be out for. If they're out for an extended period of time, you need to look elsewhere. If you can survive for 2 weeks, hey, maybe. Maybe you could sit there and say, okay, we got somebody now.
I like them at 6-10 if everybody's healthy. Kyle Williams is going to be their X factor, I think.
Part of the problem right now is that they're just missing their two better quarterbacks. I don't want to call them the best quarterbacks because E.J. Manuel still has something to prove. But that's a big loss for them. It's going to be a giant struggle. I kind of agree with Chris on 3-13. I mean, again, you got to face the Patriots twice. I think they split with the Jets and they're going to split with the Dolphins. So that's two wins in their division. Okay. They're also playing teams like the Panthers, the Ravens, the Bengals.
They don't have a big block of their schedule like the Jets do, which we talked about earlier, that you can go, oh, no. Like,
right.
I mean, it's like two games rough, one game okay. Another game okay, two more games rough. Like,
right.
There's no seven-game block where they're playing the upper echelon teams.
I'll be honest with you. The last part of their schedule, starting on week 13, looks like the easiest part. Until week 17, you have the Bills, the Bucks, the Jags, and the Bill. we're talking about the Bills. The Falcons, the Bucks, the Jags, the Dolphins, and then the Patriots.
Right.
So Falcons and Patriots, that's going to be your two tough games. The other three, the Buccaneers, we have to wait and see. But you know, it's potentially fairly easy for them. So I'm going to agree and go with 3-13. Miami Dolphins. How do you feel about them?
Up until Dustin Keller shattered everything in his knee.
Oh, my God.
I had them at 10-6 and winning the division.
Yeah.
I had them on a tie break with New England.
Sure.
7-9 now.
That's what I had them as.
Dustin Keller was giving them three wins.
Right.
And I felt that. There's nothing better than a rookie to second-year quarterback and a tight end that get along.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Absolutely. And we've all sat there and said this before where Dustin Keller is a Pro Bowl caliber tight end.
A quarterback needs three friends on offense. His center, his left tackle, and his tight end. You give him those three, and you're going to have a successful quarterback.
Absolutely. Well, let's just take a quick rundown. I mean, Dolphins are opening up with the Browns.
The Colts. Saints and Ravens.
Colts, Falcons, Saints, Ravens.
Yeah.
Before the bye. That's 1-5 before the bye.
Yeah. Yeah, they have an early bye, too, which...
It doesn't bode well.
No. And then they're going to go Bills, Patriots, Bengals, Bucks, Chargers, Panthers, Jets, Steelers, Patriots, Bills, and then Jets again to round out the season.
And again, like we talked just before about Buffalo, when they have two blocks here because they got the four-game block between 2-5, weeks 2-5. And then they play the Jets in New York, never a pushover game. Those games are always great rivalry games.
Then you go
to Pittsburgh, and then you're home again, but you got to play New England.
Right.
So if you want to make any kind of playoff push.
Do you think Lamar Miller can fill in where Reggie Bush was that spark the last end of the year for them?
Again, up until the Hall of Fame game, I would have said absolutely. This is Daniel Thomas' job to lose now to be their starting running back.
Okay.
Yeah. Lamar Miller's got to stop with the dropsies. He's got butterfingers.
Because they're putting a lot of stock in him.
Oh, yeah. Fantasy is drooling
over
Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I got my draft coming up.
He's still got a lot to prove.
Yeah.
Still got a lot to prove before we start making bold predictions like that.
So what do you have them at? I have them at 7-9.
I'm gonna put them at around 6-10.
Okay.
6-10. I could definitely see that being around there. They're just going to flip-flop what you originally thought.
I think Tannehill grows better a little bit more this year.
He's definitely going to grow.
Everybody's against Ryan Tannehill. They didn't like him because he was a wide receiver turned quarterback in Texas A&M. I like him.
He's definitely going to grow. He's going to grow. Team's not.
Right.
You know, teams, and it's mainly because of injury that they're not going to grow the way they should. New England Patriots. I got them at 10-6.
That's exactly what I have them at.
I got them at 10-6, and it's really because Tom Brady's going to have to rely a lot on that running game. They have some good young receivers, but again, they're young receivers. They still have to kind of work their way into their own. Tom Brady can make a receiver look good. He can do some good things. Their top receiver right now, Danny Amendola. Injury prone. They don't have a top flight tight end because Gronkowski is going to be out for the start of the season.
Right. And he needs to be back by week 6, otherwise he can't play.
He has to be taken off the pup list by week 6. Then he has 21 days to train and get into game shape, and then he has to play.
Right.
So he basically has to be back on the field by week 10.
And their saving grace is week 10 for them as a bye.
Right.
Phil, what do you got them at?
I have them at 11-5.
Okay.
Everybody's talking about the offense, but their defense is pretty good.
Their defense is constantly decent. Yeah.
They're gonna look to put more pressure on the pass rush. I think, you know, their defense is. What's the word you used to compare Carolina on a text message to me the other day?
I had Carolina and the Jets are very comparable teams.
Yeah. And I said to you, the defense was the word you used was
it's serviceable.
Serviceable. It's going to keep them in games that they're not going to get dogged on by better offensive teams. So
really quick though, before we get to the Jets, which we already spoke about, they have one of those brick schedules too because they go at Falcons, at Bengals, home against the Saints. That's September, October, and October. That's 4, 5, and 6. And then after the bye, they have the Panthers on the road, but then they go Broncos, Texans, back-to-back, and then they got the Ravens the week before the season ends. That's a tough schedule.
I gave them 4-12.
No, I'm talking about the Patriots.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the Jets.
Yeah,
That's a landmine schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we spoke about the Jets earlier with I have them sitting at 5-11. Phil just had 4-12.
I still think 3-13, but okay. That's just me. All right, let's head over to the AFC. Oh, I don't know. How about North?
Okay, just keep going. Give me a second here.
In my opinion, the AFC North is the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens they're gonna walk away. No, I'm not gonna say they're gonna walk away, but they still got it.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know? But listen, we've said it before. We'll say it again. Until the champion is beaten, they're still the champion.
You want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Absolutely.
So, Baltimore Ravens, I'm putting them at 11-7.
They got extra games this year?
Well. 11-5, excuse me, 11-5. They do have some pushover games. They really do. I mean, they're going to beat up on the Browns. They're going to struggle week. They're going to have a tough time week 1 at the Broncos.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as the legit Broncos offense shows up. Other pushover games, Bills, Dolphins, again, the Browns. They're going to split with the Bengals. Bengals have gotten better. I think the Bengals can hang. Pushover game is Jets. And why you got to do that for them? Chris is flipping me off because they're going to beat up on the Jets. So, you know, and there are teams that they're going to have legit good games against, like the Patriots, the Vikings, the Bears, again, the Texans, the Broncos. So, I mean, it's not going to be an extremely easy schedule for them, but I can see them going 11-5.
I got them at 10-6. There's too many tough games in there. You got Bengals Bears back to back, Vikings Lions back to back. You got the Steelers right before that, and you got your gimme game against the Jets in the middle of that. Jerk.
You and I could beat the Jets right now.
Broncos to start the season. You got the Texans week 3. You have the Packers in week 6. And again, you still got to sprinkle in divisional games. And divisional games, no matter who you play, there's always a rivalry. The AFC North is, in my eyes, the second best rivalry division in the NFL, okay, outside of the NFC East.
Right.
What do you got, Phil? What do you got for them?
I have them in 10-6.
Okay.
Even though losing Dennis Pitta, I love Anquan Boldin. Always did. You guys know that. I'm a big Anquan Boldin guy.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. I know they have some issues on. Well, they really don't have any issues on defense.
There's just six new guys.
Losing leadership is going to have coordinators fitting these new guys in.
Terrell Suggs has to be that guy this year. Absolutely. He has to be the new Ray Lewis.
Absolutely.
Cincinnati Bengals, I also have a 10-6.
I got them at 9-7.
I have them at 10-6 and winning the division on a tiebreak over Baltimore.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Again, I've used the word before, sexy pick. This is everybody's.
It's like, my wife's sexy pick.
Like, upset, special, Super Bowl. I don't see them going to the Super Bowl.
No.
But
they're definitely playoff contenders.
They're 100% playoff contenders. They've gotten better in all aspects of their team. Geno Atkins is a man among boys.
Right.
On the defensive line. Love, love, love the A.J. Green-Andy Dalton connection. Running game, I'm not a big fan of Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis. But Tyler Eifert,
the
rookie from Notre Dame,
yeah,
has been beastly in the preseason.
You think Harrison has a resurgence on that defensive line?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
He's a beast, that guy.
Ray Mauluga, they have just so many good key components. Their time to win is now. And Andy Dalton is just getting better. I have him at 10-6.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go 9-7. I think, gingers have no soul.
It's true.
Poor Red Rifle.
Love the Red Rifle, but he has no soul.
But, I could definitely see them 9-7. I think they're gonna contend, and I think they're going to be a team that is going to be a force to be reckoned with coming up in the next couple of years. Let's head down to the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns are going to struggle. They're going to struggle.
Mm-hmm. I don't want them to.
Brandon Whedon, again, they're going to get used to a new system, okay? The offense is, I think they're going to improve, but in this division, when you're playing against the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Steelers, you're going to get smacked down a little bit.
You have to hope to go 2-4, like realistically. With the talent that you have out there now. And Barcavius Mingo, it may be done.
It's my favorite name.
It really is.
I love that name.
He may be done.
Right.
They have Joe Hayden on defense. That's it.
Yep.
On offense, Brandon Whedon's look better in this offensive scheme. And they have Trent Richardson. But they have no one for Brandon Whedon to throw the ball to.
Right. So it's going to be a work in progress. You know, I think 100%. His numbers are going to improve. But, again, as a team, they're going to struggle. So I'm going to put them 6-10.
I have 5-11.
I have 5-11 also.
Such hard luck. I want to say so bad, right. 9-7, shot at the playoffs, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And North Turner's a good dude for offense, man. 100%.
Absolutely.
Steel Curtain time.
Steel Curtain. Another team I have at 9-7. This is a three-team race for this division. You got Ben Roethlisberger throwing the ball. And I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but he's done some great things so far in his career. He can lead this offense. You got an always formidable defense, you know, and some of their schedule is pretty easy.
8-8.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they take a step back. I think Baltimore sweeps them this year.
Wow.
And I think
those are usually pretty rough games.
I have Baltimore sweeping them this year, and I have Cincinnati taking one of the two. I don't see anything from them this year. I don't like their running game. I don't like their wide receivers. I don't like the defense. Oh, and James Harrison now, who you had last year, is now in Cincinnati.
Right.
Way to go. I'm sure James Harrison is going to have a little bit to say, like a shoulder to the neck of Ben Roethlisberger. They didn't do anything to get better. They only did things to get worse.
Right.
And everybody on that team has gotten older. I 8-8, flat out.
Okay. All right. Phil?
10-6, best defense in football last year. Offensive line is really thin. Big Ben always makes it happen for some reason. And the turnovers made them really good on defense, too. So it's my favorite division in football. Reminds me of the old Norris division in hockey.
All right.
Just bang up teams, killing each other. And just one more point about Cleveland real quick. They're one more year away from doing something really good, I think.
They can be, absolutely.
So I'm sorry. I don't want to
take any. That's why you're here. Moving on to the AFC South. Houston Texans. How do we feel about them?
12-4.
Really?
Yes, 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 yes.
I got 11-5.
12-4, second seed in the AFC for the playoffs.
Okay. I can see them at 11-5. I mean, you were big on them last year.
I looked damn good up until they started to shit the bed.
Right, yeah. up until they stumbled and they just couldn't get their footing.
They were 11-0, and I was sitting there with the smile. I had the Kool-Aid smile.
Yeah, but
I could have busted through the door. Oh yeah, Kool-Aid smile.
It's funny because everybody's laughing about it, but he absolutely did. But let's keep in mind, he also picked the Raiders to be good last year, too.
Yes, anyway. Listen, two out of my three predictions last year.
Absolutely.
Houston Texans were a great team last year, and I picked the week and the circumstance that the NFL referees were going to come back. So
he really did. It was kind of surprising.
There we go. We got to actually get that and put that up as a as a break.
Yep. But, all right, Phil, how do you got the Texans?
I have them at 10-6, winning the division.
Okay.
Really quick on the Texans before we move on, because I want to keep it moving. We only got about 35 minutes left. When I look at a defense, I need to see on each level of the defense, do we have a superstar? J.J. Watt, superstar.
Whatever he hits, he destroys.
Brian Cushing, if healthy, superstar, linebacker.
Yes, absolutely.
Secondary, if healthy, Ed Reed, superstar. So that's three. That's one on each part of that ball that I can't run the ball because I'm afraid of J.J. Watt.
Right.
I can't run to the edge, or I can't drop back to pass and wait for too long because they got Watt and Cushing. And I can't throw deep because they got a ball hawk back there. What can I do against them?
You got to figure out something. Indianapolis Colts.
10-6.
I got them 9-5. 9-7. I think they're going to stumble this year. I think Andrew Luck is going to have a little bit of a sophomore slump. He's still making some bad decisions when he's throwing the ball so far in the preseason. He has to get over that. 23 touchdowns, 23 interceptions last year. Your touchdown to interception ratio should not be 1-for-1. Sorry.
Well,
you got to work on that.
They did things to change that. Darius Heyward-Bey is in a better place now. He went from Satan's waiting room with the Oakland Raiders to the Colts.
Right.
Much more feel-good Chuck Pagano style. Ahmad Bradshaw.
I thought Satan's waiting room was Kings County Hospital.
I thought that was Coney Island Hospital, too.
Same thing, yeah.
Whatever. I'm happy with Ahmad Bradshaw being there. They have a good tight end with Cody Fleener. I'm happy with that. You still have Reggie Wayne. You still have T.Y. Hilton. It's great. But, Will, what do you, Phil, what do you got for?
I got him at 9-7. They fixed their defense up, too.
The only thing I'm going to say about the Colts last season, they rode the Chuck Pagano illness. I don't think they were as good as they finished.
Bruce Arians rode that all the way to a job.
Absolutely did. Good for him. Jacksonville Jaguars.
London Town, 2-14.
Yeah, I got them at 2-14 also. I don't think they're going to be very good.
3-13. I'm giving them one more win.
All right. Tennessee Titans.
6-10.
I was going to go 7-9.
Everybody loves Tennessee this year,
though. I love Tennessee this year, too.
I think they've made some improvements. I think they're going to be... They're still a couple of years from being legit contenders, but I think they're on the way up.
You got 7-9?
I do.
My philosophy is any team with Jake Locker on the quarterback is not a winning team. I don't like Jake
Locker.
And
they fixed their O-line, too.
Right.
They patched up a couple of things. And a healthy Kenny Britt's going to help them, too.
Yeah, yeah.
He got hurt early last year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to move over to the AFC West. My pick for the number one team in the AFC, the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I got them at 13-3.
I got them 14-2.
I'm giving them 11-5.
Okay. All right. Again, it's going to depend on their defense is always pretty good, but they've suffered a couple of injuries. They have a couple of injuries on offense. Nothing too pressing, but
the big thing on defense is going to be Von Miller being out in the beginning for the suspension.
For the
That's going to be rough.
That's why I'm giving them the five losses.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, I can't. Smart. I'm not going to dispute it with you, but I think they could overcome it.
And the beginning of that schedule, really fast, you have Ravens, Giants, Raiders, whatever, Eagles, Cowboys. Those are the five games he's out for, five of the six games he's out for, and then he's out against the Jaguars. He comes back against the Colts.
Right. So we're going to see what happens with that. Kansas City Chiefs.
8-8. I got them as my feel-good story of the year, 8-8.
I'm going to go...
I know you can't stomach them.
I'm going to go 6-10. I think they're going to struggle. I think Alex Smith is going to be okay. I'm not a big fan of all the alleged weapons he has.
I'm loving the Lorax as the head coach.
I think he's going to struggle this year, but I think it's going to be a work in progress. I think he's got a couple years before they do something.
I'm drinking the Andy Reid Kool-Aid, too. I'm giving him 9-7.
Ooh,
I think A.J. Jenkins is going to be a good dude for them. If Jamal Charles is healthy, it's going to be a good team.
Oakland Raiders.
3-13.
Yeah, that's about right.
2-14.
Really quick about the Oakland Raiders. I feel so bad for Matt Flynn. Now he's being outplayed by their backup.
Right.
And he may not play. Matt Flynn may lose another starting job.
Didn't Charles Woodson go back too?
Woodson is back there, yes.
Yeah.
He's there. It's going to be his swan song. It's his last year.
Yeah. Their only offensive weapon is Run DMC.
And he's never healthy.
No.
He's never healthy.
No.
They have nothing. They have nothing. Like, there's zero for this team. Nothing to look forward to. 3-13.
All right.
Amazing. Nothing to look forward to. Better than Jacksonville. Hashtag still better than Jacksonville.
And the San Diego Chargers.
4-12. Screw them.
I think they'll be better than that. I think they're going to be 6-10.
Best player on that team doesn't exist, and that's Manti's girlfriend.
Nice. Nice. Hey, Lene. Phil?
6-10.
6-10?
They're injury-plagued.
I don't think Philip Rivers is terrible, but I don't think he's very good.
And his only weapon is Gates.
And they lost both their wide receivers for the year.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right. It's about that time. Time to take a break. Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. When we come back, we're going to break down the NFC.
Warning. Listening to More Like Radio in large quantities may result in the following in no specific order.
Shenanigans, pure stupidity, anal leakage, bleeding from the ears, melting eyes, internal bleeding, loss of brain cells, delusions of invincibility, delusions of grandeur, loss of dignity and or balance, imagined gains in height, fitness, and sexual prowess, inability to correctly judge sexual appeal of yourself or others, and athlete's foot.
Audience participation is welcomed. If not, screw you! Thank you for listening.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Footer from The Red. Make sure you check us out every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on More Like Radio.
Following Hippo Jew.
We're following an overweight banker? What does he do, like a Saul Rothstein? Talking accounting right here on More Like Radio.
No. I said Hippo Juice.
Oh, Juice.
Yes.
I know Hippo Juice. They rule. All right, boom. Listen to Hippo Juice. Then listen to us, 9 p.m. Wednesdays, live.
He once taught a German shepherd how to bark in Spanish. Bulls flat out refused to fight him. He once buried a time capsule full of things that hadn't happened yet. His bear hugs are actually hugs he gives to bears. He can't be bought, but his beard clippings have been known to show up at auction. He has never lost a sock. If he disagrees with you, it's because you are wrong. He is the most interesting radio station owner on the internet.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, it's Bud Light Platinum. Stay thirsty, my friends.
It's your boy, the impact player, Mr. Philly Raya.
And of course, your host with the most, Big JP.
And we are
the Man Cave Radio Show.
Listen, check out our boys, The Sully Show, every Sunday from noon to 2, exclusively on
MoreLikeRadio.com.
That's right. Check them out.
Bitches.
You'll love them.
I bet you will.
Yep.
That's right. The Sully Show coming on right after us from noon to 2, exclusively on MoreLikeRadio.com. All right, let's get right into this. Let's start breaking down the NFC. We're starting out with the NFC East. Dallas Cowboys. Chris, what do you got?
7-9. Jason Garrett fired after the season.
Yeah, he's going to wind up gone.
Hashtag no Romo.
I'm going to call him 8-8.
8-8.
Yeah, that's. I love the running game. Love the passing game. Love the defense. Hate the quarterback.
Yeah, I'm not sold on him either.
And I hate the coach. Jason Garrett isn't a head coach.
Yeah, I'm not. You know, it's funny because I know Dallas Cowboy fans who don't like Romo.
Right.
They don't like Romo. I don't think Romo's going to be very good for them. I don't think he's going to be around much longer. They need another quarterback to take them that extra step to make it through the playoffs.
And which is sad because Romo threw for 4,500 yards last year.
Yeah.
If you're a fantasy guy and you don't want to draft a quarterback right away, draft Tony Romo. He will win you games, but just make sure that the
for
playoffs
3 months.
Don't. Exactly. That's all right. You need him for.
Right. Yeah. Fantasy, he's great. Fantasy, he's a champion quarterback.
Yeah.
So in real life.
So is Matt Ryan.
Right. In real life, well, life sucks. Get a helmet. New York Giants. I'm putting them at 9-7 again.
8-8.
9-7.
8-8. I think this is Coughlin's last year as head coach. I don't like the defense. I see too many gaping holes.
I agree.
I love the offense, even though Victor Cruz is overpaid.
Stop it.
I don't see the team moving on past that. Okay. The defense is really going to hold them back, and that's a tough division to have no defense in.
And they were 31st overall in defense last year.
Yes.
Run defense was terrible last year.
Their whole defense was atrocious. Philadelphia Eagles, I got them at 9-7 also.
I have them at 10-6.
Okay.
Philadelphia is my Oakland of last year. I want to see Philly do better.
I don't.
Of course you don't. I personally, for me, it's good for business.
Right.
I love it. I love new stories.
I think this Chip Kelly offense is going to be a good thing for them. It's going to gas teams. We've talked about it. What I said when I was watching them against the Patriots defense was absolutely gassed. The whole point of the Chip Kelly offense is to have your team lined up and snapping the ball in under 15 seconds. They can do it. They can't run it all game because if they run it all game, they're going to be gassed too.
NFL Offensive Player of the Year right now, I'm going to go on record and say, if healthy, LeSean McCoy. And my other bold prediction, if it works, with the Chip Kelly offense, Michael Vick will have better passing and rushing yards stats than Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, my.
Yeah. If it works.
If it works. And so far it has, but that's preseason. Let's see what happens in the regular season.
So what do you got for them?
I got them at 5-11.
Okay.
I think it's going to take a year for Chip Kelly's offense to go in.
All right.
I don't know if it's the no experience. Can Michael Vick stay healthy? It's these questions that I hate the Eagles, but
right.
I mean, but I like Chip Kelly, so all I right. want him to succeed. So
all right, Washington Redskins, Phil, to kick us off.
9-7.
9-7.
10-6, winning the division.
I got him at 10-6, winning the division. Also, if RG3 can stay healthy,
yeah.
RG3 is the key.
Stop running, stupid.
You can't run as much, and not even stop running. Learn to slide. Stop taking the big hits, because defensive players are looking to kill you. You play in the NFC East. NFC East, most of the linebackers are monsters.
Yeah,
and they hit to hurt.
Yeah,
you know, you can't. You're going to wind up getting injured and really screwing up your career if you
if
don't.
If anything,
stop.
He reminds me more of Randall Cunningham.
Yeah. He's Randall Cunningham, and who was the Houston Oilers quarterback?
Warren Moon.
He would never practice during the week because he was always injured.
Yeah,
but somehow would perform.
Warren Moon is
the
second best quarterback in the history of the NFL to never win a Super Bowl.
Word.
Dan Marino was number one.
Yes. NFC North. The Bears.
8-8. 8-8 at best. I'm leaning more towards 7-9.
Okay. I kind of have them at 9-7. I think the loss of Urlacher is big, but I think they can stumble through it.
I'm wearing an Urlacher college jersey right now. That loss to me loses them three games flat.
All right. Phil?
8-8.
8-8. All right. Phil's kind of biased because we'll skip
yeah,
his
this
team.
Is a rough division for Phil. They're all 0-16. Phil, that can't happen.
The Detroit Lions. They're going to step up a little bit, but they're in a tough division.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them 9-7.
I got them at 10-6. That New England game showed me a lot.
Okay.
New England game, it's true, showed me a lot. I am loving the Reggie Bush acquisition. Reggie Bush lining up in the slot with Michael LaShore, Joyce Bell behind him, behind Matthew Stafford, and lining up across from Calvin Johnson. with Brandon Pettigrew and a decent defense with Louis Delmas and Ndamukong Suh, as much as I can't stand Ndamukong
Suh. Yeah, he's a thug.
I got him at 10-6. I like it. It's a soft schedule for them.
Yeah. Yeah, it really kind of is. But, Phil?
8-8.
8-8. All right. Phil's going right down the middle with everybody.
Everybody's
going
to be 8-8, and all of a sudden Minnesota's going to be 9-7.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That's
but,
fantastic.
But for not for no, bias know, reasons.
Know, right, right, right. The Packers.
12-4.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Besides the fact that Eddie Lacy ate his entire contract, way to go.
Yeah, but he could still move. He's not as big as I thought he was going
to
be.
No, he's trimmed down a little bit more. Like he got hit because he's trying to bulk himself up more than anything else because they want to use him as an H-back type.
Right. They want to use him to just bust through the line.
Exactly. And it's going to be a good change of pace because they have Jonathan Franklin. And Jonathan Franklin's a speed guy to the edges, good catch out of the backfield. They got Randall Cobb. Jordy Nelson is hurt. That's going to be big for them. They lose Greg Jennings, big for them.
Right.
But I still like a team, just like we love a team led by Tom Brady, I love a team led by Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, absolutely. And just quick to Eddie Lacy, you put on fat, buddy. That was the wrong move. Fat slows you down.
Other word starts with an M. That's what you need.
Green Bay, I have a 10-6.
10-6. Yeah. I'm going to put them at 11-5.
Okay.
They had beef up that offensive line.
Yeah.
I have them second in the conference.
Okay. All right. I got them third. And the Minnesota Vikings, Philip.
9-7. Purple Jesus is still Purple Jesus. They gave Christian Ponder some help.
Does he set the record this year for rushing yards?
9 yards short.
I mean, the schedule favors them for him to do it, I think. I just don't know if they have it. I mean, last year was like a fluke thing almost. Like, he was incredible coming back from that injury.
Absolutely.
You know, and again, the rookie cornerback they have, Xavier Rhodes, he's going to have to step his game up.
Word.
And again, they beefed up the offensive line. They're using Joe Webb as the third receiver experiment. And what you can't say nothing bad about Greg Jennings, man. He's good.
Yeah.
If Greg Jennings teaches Cordell Patterson the right way.
Yeah.
Because Cordell has a lot of
upside.
Yeah, but he also has a lot of issues.
Yeah.
Looking at the schedule, I got Minnesota at 6-10 based on the schedule alone. It's brutal.
It's a rough schedule.
I mean, Redskins, Seahawks, Packers, back-to-back-to-back, and then the Bears. I mean, and then the Ravens. It's a rough, they got a rough patch where they could seriously go like 1-5.
Yeah,
I don't want them to be. I just don't like Ponder.
I don't want them to be either. I mean, I think they could do better than that, but, well, it is what it is, and we'll see how that plays out. Heading on over to the NFC South.
South,
the dirty South. Atlanta Falcons.
11-5.
11-5, I could see that. I could absolutely see that, I think, with Roddy White, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan.
Harry Douglas, Tony Gonzalez, Steven Jackson is going to be my fantasy sleeper of the year, Steven Jackson.
I can't call him a sleeper. I mean,
well, he is because no one's really thinking about him now. Because when you think of the top 10 running backs, he's not there.
Yeah, no, all right. I can kind of agree with that. They open up against the Saints. That's going to be a rough game. I think the Saints improved this year simply because Sean Payton's back.
Yeah, we're going to get to them in a second. Phil, what do you got for the
Atlanta Falcons? I have them at 11-5. I think, they're a good team. I mean, they're solid.
They did it last season, so why not?
Yeah.
They're going to be third in the conference. That's what I have them at.
I can see it.
And Steven Jackson, I think, is going to be a little better in that scheme, that offensive scheme they have.
He fits them better than Michael Turner did.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Carolina Panthers.
4-12.
Yeah. I'll give them 5-11.
Bye-bye, Ron Rivera, as much as I love the man. Bye-bye, Ron Rivera. They have no wide receivers. Steve Smith is probably going to retire at the end of this year. And the running game is a disaster. When your quarterback...
Right, Cam Newton can run.
Right. When your quarterback has more rushing yards than the rest of your running backs, it's time to revamp.
Absolutely. And Cam Newton still fighting for that captaincy. As far as I know, hasn't gotten it yet. Right. But.
And Phil, what do you got really quick?
I mean, I have an 8-8. He had 4,600 yards last year, almost 30 touchdowns. And I like their defense. I was telling Chris this the other night. I like their defense. They did things, like small things, that I think is going to help them in the long run.
Their defense is going to keep them in games, but their offense is going to put them right out.
And the two guys I was talking to you about really quick for the rookies were Stalu Talele
and Kawan Short.
And right.
That's
right.
A fun name. Stalu Talele.
Yeah.
And Kawan.
Oh, my. The New Orleans Saints. I'm putting them at 10-6. I think they improve over last year because Sean Payton's back, and I think everything with the whole Bounty Gate scandal that occurred last year is really what kind of held them back.
I have them at 11-5 also, losing the tiebreak to Atlanta.
Okay.
Them being the highest wild card seed. Sean Payton makes Drew Brees better.
Yeah, there's something about it.
There's no other way.
There's something about it. It's like Sean Payton has some pixie dusty sprays on top of Drew Brees.
It's a very good relationship. Yeah. And they don't need a running back. Darren Sproles is their running back.
Right.
All they need, just throw the ball.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham, best tight end in the league.
Absolutely.
By default now. Best tight end in the league. We didn't even talk about Jason Witten, who in my eyes is my favorite tight end. Because
right.
Tennessee Vol.
Right. I still think Tony Gonzalez is in the top three.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the three. Yeah. Jimmy Graham, Tony Witten, Jason Witten, and Tony Gonzalez.
Yep. Yep. Phil?
10-6. Again, everybody's talking about the offense. They beefed up their defense.
No, they did.
Kenny Vaccaro was going to be good for them, and they got Keenan Lewis from Pittsburgh,
okay,
who's a pretty decent safety himself and nice. Played some sick Steeler defenses. So.
Again, another guy. Run on the Troy Polamalu.
Yep.
Can't beat that.
Nope.
Oh, the Tampa Bay Bucks.
8-8.
Yeah, I could see them about 8-8. I could see that.
The Josh Freeman experiment is done.
Yeah, yeah.
Wave the flag on that one.
Yeah. I think if Darrell Revis stays healthy, Revis Island is going to be a major factor in their defense.
Revis, Mark Barron, Deshaun Golson on the secondary. That's almost along the lines of
the Seahawks.
Seattle, yeah.
And can Jonathan Banks fix that secondary? I mean, I got them at 6-10, so I mean that I think they're going to be
They have a cover corner. The best cover corner when healthy in the league. And they have two ball hawk hard-hitting safeties. Yeah, I think that's fixed. I really think that team is solidified in the secondary. I'm not completely sold on their linebacking core, but I like their I like their down linemen. I just Doug Martin's going to be absolutely beastly this year again.
Muscle hamster, absolutely.
I just don't like Josh Freeman. I think the Josh Freeman experiment is done. You need to revamp. So a friend of mine was asking me last night, what do you think? Right now, if you had to handicap the first three picks in the draft next year, because he knows I'm a Jet fan, and he thinks that I'm going to have one of the first three picks. Jerk. Right now,
it's
Jadeveon Clowney, number one. Marquise Lee, wide receiver out of USC. And honestly, Teddy Bridgewater out of Louisville. And I think if one of the teams, Oakland, starts to tank, Teddy Bridgewater's a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah, I could agree with that. All right. Let us move on, which is the only division we haven't done yet.
NFC West.
The NFC West. All right.
I knew we were forgetting somebody. I'm like, we're done already?
I'm like, no.
Wait a minute.
I think we're one short.
All the 49er fans are like, hey, stop it.
San Francisco 49ers, let's kick off with them. NFC West. I got them at 14-2.
13-3.
Phil?
Well, I'm sorry, which team?
49ers.
49ers 11-5.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Even without Michael Crabtree, I think they're going to be okay.
I think they're going to struggle early. I think Crabtree and Manningham are going to wind up coming back. And I think up until that point, they're going to struggle a little bit. But once they come back, they're going to be good. They're going to be really good.
And does Kendall Hunter and what's-his-face James get more of a look now?
Michael James?
Yeah, that Frank Gore is not the guy he was. Did he get more looks and touches and stuff?
LaMichael James is going to be doing it up.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Gore is probably going to still be your number one, but LaMichael James is probably going to wind up seeing a bulk of the carries.
Last year was a good telltale sign in the Super Bowl. Kendall Hunter was kind of not there. Even with the fumble by LaMichael James, he still got more play time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ushering in.
Right.
That's going to be your guy.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
But the whole team, according to Jaworski, is the San Francisco Kaepernick. So.
Right, right, yeah. See what happens with him. Arizona. They kind of got a quarterback now in Carson Palmer.
They have a running game with Rashad Mendenhall. They have...
still got Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd from Notre Dame.
Michael Ford's a sleeper pick for fantasy guys.
Absolutely. They have Darnell Dockett. They have Carlos Dansby. They have Patrick Peterson. They have Tyron Matthew, and they're going to be 10-6. Not going to make the playoffs, but 10-6.
I'm going to put him 9-7. I'm going to put him 9-7. I think Carson Palmer, he's not a great quarterback, but he's a serviceable quarterback. Didn't really get much of a shot with, I mean, he tanked with Oakland and then just really, it almost seemed like he didn't care for a while. But, Phil, how do you feel about Arizona?
I got him at 6-10.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be better, but they're still, they need to fill in some roles. And,
right.
And the defense got a little better.
I'm excited for them this year.
Yeah.
I really am.
Well, I'm excited about the Rams, so.
I think it's going to be an ushering in of things to come for them. They're going to have to find another quarterback because Carson Palmer's aging. He's not going to be there for very long.
Right.
So let's get a young guy in there, carry a clipboard behind him for a season, let him learn,
and
see where you go. Because let's face it, they haven't had a decent quarterback. Well, Kurt Warner. And Kurt Warner basically stole that job from Matt Leinart.
Which is why I think Carson Palmer's going to have a good season with Larry Fitzgerald, because Palmer and Warner are kind of the same.
Yeah.
No, I'm never gonna say Palmer is just as good as Warner.
No,
but they have the same style.
Similar style, right. Absolutely. Seattle Seahawks,
11-5, second place in the division, sixth in the conference.
Okay,
which means they would get, according to my standards, they would get they wouldn't get Green Bay. They'd get Atlanta.
Atlanta, yeah. I'm gonna put them at 12-4.
Okay,
I'm gonna put them at 12-4. I think Russell Wilson is a very special type of quarterback because when he rolls out, he can still throw the ball. And the reason he can still throw the ball is because he squares his shoulders to the receiver.
Right.
You know, most quarterbacks don't do that. Most quarterbacks try to run. They kind of jump in the air and rifle it as they're running away from the receiver. They're not squared. So it's the throw gets a little wild. Russell Wilson sees the receiver. He's rolling out to, says, "Ooh, I want to throw to that guy." Squares his shoulders, throws it, and can throw it accurately. Which is one thing a lot of mobile quarterbacks just don't have a grasp on.
And the Percy Harvin injury sucks for them, though.
It does.
That's one of the reasons.
Sorry.
That's one of the reasons why I don't have them higher.
Right.
But, I mean, 11-5 is still fantastic.
Absolutely. But at the same time, their offense is still pretty much together from last season.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Phil?
I got them at 11-5 and winning the division. Their defense, man-to-man, could stymie San Francisco and anybody else right now.
I agree. It's
sickening. I watched that Denver preseason game.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just disgusting.
And their special teams play was freaking phenomenal, too.
They're
unreal.
Their first five games before we get to St. Louis, it's a landmine. It's a minefield.
Right.
Panthers, Niners, Jaguars, Texans, Colts. Rough. Rough. 2-3. 3-2. Rough.
Three. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go 4-1 because I think they shocked the 49ers early in the season.
Plus, they're home.
Yeah.
Home. Quest Field,
12th man.
That 12th
man is unbelievable.
It's even better in the middle of dead of winter.
Yeah. I'm just glad the Giants actually have to play them in Week 15, but they're playing at MetLife Stadium and not in Quest Field. St. Louis Rams. How do we feel?
I'm going to go 8-8.
Yeah.
It's funny. This 3 years ago, not one team that was in that division was over 500. Now I think that this year not one team is under 500. I have St. Louis finishing, unfortunately, fourth and being 8-8. They got better. I love Tavon Austin. I was talking about it before on Man Cave.
Yeah.
Isaiah Pied and Darrell Richardson, great. They got Jared Cook now at tight end, who was on Tennessee.
Yeah.
Big time security blanket for Sam Bradford. This is finally Bradford's year. Jeff Fisher does well with quarterbacks. They're in a tough division. It's tough for them.
7-9 because of their division.
I love the Tennessee Rams at 8-8.
The Tennessee Rams.
Well, yeah, Jeff Fisher. he's gonna fix the Titans, like he's gonna fix the Rams. Bradford threw for 21 touchdowns last year. He's gonna do a little more. Their defense had 52 sacks last year.
Yeah.
So I mean, 8-8 is good for them. They're like my sweetheart pick. Them in Tennessee.
Absolutely.
I like them at 8-8.
All right. Well, it's about that time, folks.
Oh, really quick, since we got like 5 minutes left. Do you want to give me your Super Bowl? What do you think right now is going to be in the Super Bowl?
Who do I think right now is going to be in the Super Bowl? San Francisco, Denver.
Okay. Phil?
Giants, Denver.
Hmm.
Okay.
I'd love to see that. I mean, that's like the ultimate Manning Bowl.
But I have Houston and Seattle.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, this is really just throw things at a dartboard.
Better start wearing Texan jerseys, man.
I do. I have one.
Good.
I have a Jermaine Lewis one.
Okay.
The only reason I disagree with the Giants pick is because I think the Giants defense is going to hold them back.
Didn't hold them back in 2011, though.
They got hot, man.
I know, but they had better players. I think the defense really holds them back this season.
Love my Texans.
You
really
do.
I really do.
It's almost nauseating, to be honest with you.
Well, I said I have my three favorite teams are the Jets, anybody who plays New England, and then Houston.
You only have two dominant teams in the NFC right now, if you think about it, on paper. And they both play in the same division.
Right.
You know? So you have to differentiate where you're going with that, too. Like, you know, it's easy to pick.
Whoever makes it out of the NFC West alive, out of the four of them, in my eyes, goes to the Super Bowl. I think that's the class of the league right now, that division.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Weird from 3 years ago. But.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, I mean, they made the right moves. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Tattoos and Touchdowns, and we're not going away just yet. We have a fantasy football league we're getting going. You guys want to jump in? Think you know more about it than Espo and I? Bring it on, man. We want to play. We want to play. It's a free league, no cost. You will receive a prize, and you're going to receive a Tattoos and Touchdowns Fantasy Football League Champion T-shirt.
Yes, custom made.
Custom made by Chris Espo's wife, Karen. Yes. She does a lovely job, by the way.
She does.
All right,
we're going to have it on NFL.com.
It's going to be on NFL.com. Check it out. Send us an email at tattoosandtouchdowns@gmail.com. Let us know you're interested. We'll send you the invite.
And put in the subject Fantasy Football League. We're going to call it the Friends of the Show League. We're definitely going to have it. Registration is until Thursday. Once Thursday hits, I'm going to start sending out the invites to everybody, and then we'll register it up, and we'll probably have the draft live at night on like Wednesday night, the 3rd. If anybody who can't make it, it'll be like an auto pick draft. You don't have to be there.
Right.
You can just set your guys to auto pick, and we'll also update everybody on the show as to how the stats are. And then next week we have Jeff Capellini is going to be calling in from CBS New York and WFAN. He's going to talk a little Jets and Giants with us. We're going to unveil our Pros versus Joe segment, which is Joe C is going to be involved, where it's going to be basically a pick 'em. We're going to grab three games, and Will and
you
I.
You guys really want my picks?
Yes, because what we're doing is we want the fair weather against the professional.
So
we're going to see how that runs for the season. Will and I are going to do a little pick 'em against each other. And
we want to have a pick 'em league with you guys, too.
Yes, absolutely. And we want more phone calls next week. We want more input from everybody at More Like. We want input from the people in the chat room. Without you guys, the show doesn't get better.
It's true.
Okay.
And we're constantly trying to make it better. We want to put out the best possible product we can for you guys and for More Like Radio. So,
that
what
being
else
said,
we got?
That's it.
Okay, that's it. We're done?
Facebook.com/tattoosandtouchdowns. Follow us on Twitter at TNT Espo and at Tat, TATTTD Will.
On behalf of all the More Like guys, I just want to welcome you guys.
Thank you.
To the family, because we're really happy to have you here and in the bunker. And
MLR has a sports show.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to thank everybody at MLR once again, More Like Radio. You guys have been great. Thank 100%. You for bringing us on. And check out the Sully Show coming up in about six minutes on morelikeradio.com. So big shout out to them. Again, everybody at More Like Radio, thank you very much. Thank you to my family. Thank you to Karen's family. And, excuse me, Chris's family.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's not on the damn show. Jesus.
I don't know why I looked at you and thought Karen, but thank you to Chris's family.
Anybody want to take Tattoos and Touchdowns on the go, or any show from More Like Radio for that matter, go to iTunes and get the TuneIn app. For your phone. I was actually listening to Man Cave on the way here.
Totally
free app. Next week we'll have the cameras up for us. Yes. And tattoosandtouchdowns.webs.com is our website. You can get some articles from us. You can hear past shows, old shows from us. Just drop us a line. The more you listen, the more input you guys give us, the more we can talk on the show and you can listen to our lovely voices.
All right. Okay. With that being said, thank you again, everybody. We are heading out of here right now. We will see you next week, 10 a.m. to noon. Tattoos and Touchdowns.
And no more man cave.
No more. Well, they're taking a hiatus. We're going to see what happens when they come back.
They're taking it in the anus.
Oh, my goodness. That's it.
Okay.
Have a great week, everybody.
Good night, Gracie.
All right, guys.